So today I just want to welcome Grant as our anointed person from God to give us our message today. Yeah. So for anyone who may not be aware of Grant, this is Grant Morrison, and he has been working in our church for 3 months maybe, around that time, I don't know, helping us with the transition since Chris has left. And Grant has been an amazing support to Brad, I believe, and worked with the transition team. No, killing the sacred cows. Transition team in looking back and looking forward and going, okay, what is this church all about? What are the things that we find as non-negotiables? What are the things that we just do because we've always done it? And Grant's been leading us through that transition process as a team, which will hopefully at the end be really beneficial. It already is beneficial, but even more beneficial in finding the person that God has lined up to be our next senior team leader here at Overflow Church. So, Grant, welcome. I should pray. Yeah. So, God, we thank you for Grant, and we thank you that he is your anointed one to bring your message today. We thank you for what he carries and for who he is. We thank you for the blessing that he is to our church family in this season, for such a time as this. And we just thank you also for Sue as she so diligently supports him and guides him as well. And God, we just want to ask your blessing over this couple. We ask for every provision that they may need to be granted to them. And God, we pray that they would know you in new and blessed ways through our congregation as well as them blessing us. And so we just thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. And I just want to say that for Tash, like your voice supposedly wasn't at its best, but even if it's not at its best, it's far better than mine is ever at its best. So thanks for pressing through and Vanessa for stepping up, and we want to recognise Sam in there as well. Let's not forget. It's good to hear your voice as well. And then Joe was concentrating very hard there on the keyboard, always. Hey, I also want to say that the transition team, I don't think there's anything traditional about the transition team, that's for sure. The people who are on it, certainly not wanting to reflect being traditional as we might think of being traditional, but certainly wanting to continue to look ahead and press ahead. So this morning, so if the picnic's not until 12, Laura, so are you saying I've got until 12 o'clock? Who said no? All right. What a pity. Hey, those stories, you know, like if those kids, like that young girl telling her story and then having these other kids respond, and then Wendy's story as well, and just, you know, the impact of our words. And it's, you know, through our words that people hear and believe. And we'll learn a little bit more about that this morning, and we'll also learn a little bit about how we can maybe be more effective with our words. All right. Hey, I've got a story for you. I'm sure you know this story. It's from, it's in both Luke and Mark. It's the story that we call the Gerasene demoniac. And story goes like this. I don't need to read it. Because, actually, I won't read it. I will tell it because we should know stories about Jesus from memory. Because if you're meeting with someone and, you know, it's appropriate to tell a story, we don't stop and go, oh, just a minute, I'll just get out my Bible or I'll just look it up and then read it. I mean, how artificial is that? That is not how we tell stories. Do you know of anyone who tells a story like that? No. But somehow we sometimes think it's better to tell it by reading it. It's just crazy. All right. But we should know stories so we can tell them by heart, off by heart. So the story of the Gerasene demoniac goes something like this. Jesus and the disciples crossed over the Sea of Galilee to the eastern side of the lake. And as Jesus was getting out of the boat, a demon-possessed man came and fell down before Jesus and said, "Get away from here, Jesus. What do you want with me?" And this demon-possessed man was naked and he didn't live in a house. He just his home was amongst the tombs. And Jesus said to this man, "What is your name?" He told the demon to go, but instead it just responded and telling Jesus to go. And Jesus said, "What is your name?" And the demon said, "Legion, for we are many." And what had happened to this demon-possessed man is that, you know, when they tried to clothe him, he would just tear his clothes off. Or if they chained him up and set guards over him, he would break the chains and beat up the people who were guarding him. And so the demons saw the pigs that were on the hillside near where they were and begged Jesus not to send them into the abyss, but to send them into the pigs. So Jesus said, "Go." And so the demons left this man, went into the pigs. The pigs ran down the hillside into the lake and drowned. And the men who were watching over the pigs went into the town and told the people all that they had seen. So when the people from the town came out, they discovered that the demon-possessed man was now fully clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet and in his right mind. The people from the town and from around that area saw this and they were terrified and they begged Jesus to leave them. So as Jesus is getting into the boat to leave, the demon-possessed man asked to come with Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "No, you go home and tell everyone how good God has been to you." So the demon-possessed man went and told everyone in that area how merciful God had been to him. End of story. All righty. It's a great story. And in that story, we at the end, Jesus sends him out, and what does the man do? He goes and he tells his story. In the Luke version, it says, "Go home and tell your family." In Mark's version, Jesus sends him to tell everyone. So probably starting with his family and then going on, this man goes and tells what Jesus has done for him. You know, this man had maybe spent a half a day at best with Jesus. So it's not as if he's full of information about, you know, teaching about the kingdom of God or full of knowledge about Jesus and who he is and how and why he'd come. This man just has his story to tell of how Jesus had shown him mercy and set him free. And so he told that story again and again and again. Because if we read Mark's account of what happens, a couple of chapters later, by Mark chapter 7, we read that when Jesus returns to this area that's called the Decapolis or the Ten Cities, that there are thousands and thousands of people who come out to hear about Jesus or hear from Jesus. And how did they know about Jesus? They knew because this man had gone and told his story again and again and again. And so thousands came. In Mark chapter 7, we have the story of the feeding of the 4,000 rather than the 5,000. And the story of the 4,000 is set in the Decapolis, where the people of that area that this formerly demon-possessed man had told about Jesus, they came to meet Jesus for themselves. See, a word about Jesus is incredibly powerful because words are powerful. In Genesis chapter 1, creation, we have the story of creation. It came into being through the spoken word. You know, God said, let there be light. God said, and it happened. Words have the power to build up and to tear down. And in this story of the demoniac, you know, the demons left the man at Jesus' command. And so we have story after story in the Gospels and through Acts of the power of the Word. And today we're here because we heard about Jesus. Someone spoke. We had words, maybe we're one of those who read them for ourselves. But it's because of the word. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, I'm sure you know these words, faith comes from hearing. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes through hearing. You know, next week, Zach's going to talk about deeds, and then a couple of weeks after that, Jim's going to talk about signs. Deeds and signs are important, incredibly important, and we're going to hear about their importance. But one of the things that they do is confirm the words or set the scene for the words. See, faith comes from hearing. Not just out of a vacuum. Why did that happen? Why have you done that? You know, in a few weeks, we're going to do some roadside cleanup. That's the plan, to go and make Madawi a cleaner place, all right? And if we're out and about just picking up rubbish from the side of the road and someone comes and says, why are you doing that? We don't just ignore them. It's an opportunity to tell them, we're doing this because if Jesus was here, I think this is something he would do. And then see what happens. See, whenever we talk to people, we should be looking for an opportunity to talk about Jesus, but we don't force a conversation. I just want to say that, you know, if it happens naturally, that's the time to say it. You know, I was certainly brought up that knocking on doors, you know, we should, and when I was at college, we knocked on doors at King's Cross. Now, I want to tell you that, if you want to go knocking on doors, that is an experience. And, you know, we forced ourselves into conversations on people. Now, I'm all for going and, you know, if you want to go knocking on doors can be great, but what are we doing? We're looking for an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. If a person doesn't want to hear, we don't get into an argument with them, all right? So if someone wants to have some theological argument, they're actually not interested in hearing about Jesus. But if someone invites us in and asks us to sit down and we talk to them, then we have the opportunity to talk. So we don't push a conversation, but we respond when there's an opportunity. I can see people nodding, so hopefully I've communicated that. All right. Hey, one of the things, now I know we sang a little bit earlier, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And I understand the passage as well that says perfect love casts out all fear. But if you're anything like me, there are some things that still cause fear. I will go and if you wanted to go knocking on doors and there was no one else to go, I'll go with you, all right? Because it may be part of your development. I've done it before. But I just want to tell you, I will go fearfully, all right? And this topic is about boldly demonstrating God's goodness. Now, there's another word that helps me that goes with bold or to be bold, and it's the word brave. So bold or boldness is a synonym to brave or bravery, all right? So I like to think of myself as being brave rather than bold because, sadly, I'm not yet perfect. And so fear does sometimes get in the way. But I don't want to be a slave to fear. I want to serve God. And so he enables me to be brave. You know, maybe you can relate to this one. Who likes going to the dentist? Oh, one person likes going to the dentist. I hate that. I am terrified of the dentist. The dentist fills me with fear. How many people go to the dentist anyway? Yeah, we go to the dentist. Not many people love it. I hope there's no dentist here. We don't sort of want to get you offside or anything, but you're aware that it's not the most popular occupation. You know, when we go to the dentist, even though we are afraid, we are being brave. We are pressing through the fear and being brave. So we can be brave. You know, in, say, World War One, you know, there were all the soldiers who are in the trenches. We've just gone, you know, November 11 is only a couple of days ago. Those soldiers were commanded and they did. They got up out of those trenches and they ran into enemy gunfire. They were afraid, but they were brave men. And so many of them died as a result. Bravery is pressing through the fear and acting. And so whether we say bold or brave, it is pressing through the fear that we have and speaking about Jesus. For some reason, the reason is that the evil one likes to get in and make us afraid. But we are on Jesus' side. We know the end of the story. You know, if you don't have a read of the book, we win, all right? So if we're on Jesus' side, we're on the winning side. And I just want to say, press through that fear and speak for Jesus. Be brave. You know, he will help you. And so this morning I've got a couple of things that I want to help what it is to, be brave. But also, you know, we've heard some stories today already about the power of our story. Your story is incredibly powerful. And you might think, oh, I don't have a very exciting story of how I came, you know, to follow Jesus. I just want to say that that did not come from God, all right? Your story is incredibly powerful, or unless you're not following Jesus, all right? But if you are living a life with Jesus, you have a story of someone whose life has been transformed. You know, you might think you've got to have a story like the Gerasene demoniac and, you know, I was this horrible person and then Jesus came and now I'm set free. Well, I want to let you know that you were a horrible person. Jesus came into your life and now you were set free. You know, you might have just dressed it up nicely, but sin makes us not good, makes us horrible people. All right, in the nicest possible way. All right. Hey, Zach, can we have that next slide up? Because I want to teach you all how to tell the best story that you have. And your best story is like this. This is your story of how you met Jesus. So before I met Jesus, this is how I lived. I'm actually going to get you all to practice this morning. Helen must have heard. That's why she's not here. She probably doesn't. Helen Schumacher's, you know, she's doesn't always want to join in, she tells me, but I'll get her. She'll just have to tell me her story. You can warn her, Tash. She's not going to get away from this. No, she'll probably be happy to do that. But anyway, it's our story of before I met Jesus. Now, you might have grown up in a Christian family. You know, you've been going to church all your life. And so your before part might be, I have always known about Jesus. That's fine. But you might have become a Christian later, and so you have a little bit to say about, well, before I met Jesus, I lived like this. Then E is the events leading up to believing in Jesus. So what happened? And so those little kids who heard the story from that girl, they can say, well, you know, I was going to Madawi Christian School and, you know, whatever it might be. There's some events around believing in Jesus. S is for your point of salvation or the switch, all right? So the point of salvation is when Jesus became real to you, when you understood who Jesus was, that Jesus came for you and gave his life for you. Or the switch is where it changed from your parents' faith to yours. So if you grew up in a Christian family, if this point has never come, today's your day, all right? But there would have been some point, and it not necessarily a point, but it could have been a gradual process where it switched from being your parents' faith to your faith in Jesus. All right, so that's what we talk about there. How did that happen? And then today. So what Jesus is doing in my life today. So if your story is something like, I grew up in a Christian family, I've known Jesus all my life. You know, when I was, you know, in primary school, I came to understand that Jesus had given his life for me. And so I believed in Jesus. All right, now I'm going to give you 3 minutes. All of that took about 10 seconds. You now have 2 minutes and 50 seconds to tell about what Jesus is doing in your life today. All right? And if you're thinking Jesus is doing nothing, man, you need to start doing some things for Jesus. All right? If you're thinking, I don't have a very exciting story because I grew up in a Christian family, I've only ever known what it is to live with Jesus, and, you know, I go to church on Sunday. It's like, I just want to say, put some life into your story, all right? This is the best story you have. Jesus has saved you, and people need to hear how it happened to you. I will tell my story in a minute first to give an example. However, I want to let you know, we need to know our story, all right? Some of you might be thinking, well, I've never told my story. Do you know your story in a way that people can hear it? You know, I can remember being in church and, you know, when I first became a Christian, people would get up and give their testimony and go like for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I just want to tell you, unless you're in church, no one wants to sit and listen to you tell your story. For that length of time, okay? We're nice people, all right? So we will endure that. 3 minutes or less is pretty good, okay? So you could say, can you give me 3 minutes of your time? And you could tell your story if you know it. I've also had people come and say to me, I've never had the opportunity to tell my story. And I just want to say, God is so good that he's not giving you that opportunity because you don't know how to tell it anyway. Imagine if you'd told the story all my life. You know, I've known Jesus all my life and, you know, and now I, you know, go to church every Sunday. And if that's your story, who wants to hear that? There's nothing in it. So you need to think about your story and make it the best story you have to tell. Is that good? Everyone understands? All right. Do you want to hear my story? Hang on. 3 minutes. Hey, you betcha. Just before I tell my story in 3 minutes, let me, I've trained people like all over the world in how to do this. All right. So you're not the first people. But I did some training up at Karua. This is a few years ago now. And there was a lady in that gathering. She worked at the op shop at, or volunteered at the op shop at Tea Gardens. And lovely lady. And she wanted to tell people about Jesus. And so she, you know, she's all excited and she's going, you know, trying to tell people about Jesus, but, you know, it never happens. And all of this. So anyway, we're doing the training and I'm giving people 3 minutes to tell their story. At the end of the 3 minutes, she calls out, "No, no, I've only just started." The problem for her was that she'd never got to tell her story because in 3 minutes, she was only just starting rather than getting to the end. Anyway, the next week we came back and she bounced into the room and she goes, I got to tell my story for the first time ever. And then she talked about how this lady came into a shop and they got into a discussion and she told her story in 3 minutes. And the lady listened and they were able to interact. For the very first time, she got through the important parts of telling her story. Okay. Sam, you ready? We're going to start. 3 minutes. All right? And I think I'll just make sure the volume... Oh, yeah, you wouldn't have heard that. Volume's up now. Okay, here we go. All right. So when I was a young guy, all I wanted to do was play sport. I just loved playing sport, particularly ball sports, all right? So cricket and rugby league, they were my top two, but any sport was great. When I was at school, the only reason I went to school was that it was an opportunity to play more sport. And so by the time I got to high school, the only reason I went was to play sport, but then I also discovered there was another reason to go to school, and that was girls. So I went to school because of sport and girls. And not, I wasn't really interested about learning anything, but they were just opportunities to meet girls and play sport. And when I was in my later teens, my sister invited me out with her friends. Now, my sister went to, back then, Maitland Girls High School, an all-girls high school. So I knew that the only friends my sister had were girls. So I said yes, and I went out, and guess what? The girls talked to me. But these girls were a bit different to the girls at school, and they invited me to come to church the next night. And I said, "Will you be there?" They said yes. So I started going to church because of the girls. And the guy who was the pastor finished there, and a new guy came, and he was a lecturer at Newcastle University, and he talked about Jesus like he knew him. And he talked about these stories of things Jesus was doing all over the world. And he would challenge me about how I was living my life. And so I went home one night, I knelt beside my bed, and I invited Jesus to come and to live in my life. And my life began to change. I was not the best behaved teenager, but my behaviour began to change, my attitude towards my parents began to change. My life changed because of that encounter with Jesus. And when Sue and I started going out and got married, it was on the understanding that we would live our lives for Jesus. And I wanted people to have the same encounter with Jesus that I had had, one that would change their life. And that's led us to be able to go to all different sorts of places. So I've led churches, but my key thing was that I wanted people to encounter Jesus, the real Jesus. And Jesus has taken us overseas. I've been able to talk to people in countries right across the Pacific, in Africa, in Europe, in India. It's just been incredible what has happened as a result of following Jesus. If you'd like to hear a bit more about that, maybe we can talk about that a little bit later, or maybe you have a similar story. All right, that's it. So that was just under 3 minutes. All right. Sam, see? I can do it, Sam. I can also do it because I've had opportunity to practice my story again and again and again. Because when we know our story, people will ask. I was down in Melbourne one time, and in this English class, this guy pipes up and he goes, I'm here to learn English, but I never think about God. And we were using the Bible as the text for people to learn English. And I said, I know what that's like. Because I could also tell my story by saying, I never thought about God. Yeah, the only reason I went to church was because of those girls. But it wasn't because I was looking for God. He didn't even enter the equation. We actually, when I was pastor at Bateman Baptist, we actually came up with a word to describe what happens when, boys invite girls to church or girls invite boys. We called them kissing evangelists. But anyway, whatever it takes. I was able to talk to this Asian guy who had never thought about God, and just because I was able to relate and understand where he was at. I can be sitting on a plane and we have a conversation with someone and it just comes as an opportunity for me to tell my story. Again and again, if you know your story, the opportunities will come. Like that lady I talked about at Karua, there that very next week, because she could now tell her story, she didn't even have to do anything. The lady she was talking to asked. Hey, I've got another story just before I get you to practice, so you're going to have to pair up. I will time you, so the alarm will go off at 3 minutes, all right? And you stop, all right? But it's okay because Laura's invited you all to lunch, so what are you going to do at lunchtime? Well, you can practice telling your stories to each other, all right? And why I get you to do it here is because church is a safe place to practice. We need to practice telling our story so that when we get out in the big scary world, we are confident to tell someone else a story. Hey, if you're here today and you haven't got to that point of being able to say, Jesus is my Saviour, I understand, you still have a story to tell. Because what are you doing here? How did you get to be here? So if you haven't got to the point of believing, you still have a story to tell. So everyone gets to tell this story, all right? No one gets out of it. All right, I was going to tell a story about this family in Fiji when I was doing some training in Fiji. So I train people in what are called church planning movements, and telling your story is one aspect of it. So just very quickly, this guy is on his way home. He'd been practicing telling Bible story, and he trains his family. One of those in his family was a girl who was in year five, and she went to school the next day. And the teacher asks, who has a story to tell? This girl puts up her hand. She says, I've got a story. So she gets invited, comes down the front, tells the whole class the story of Zacchaeus. Teacher goes, that is the best story we've heard today. Then at recess, at the break, this girl is out with her friends in the playground teaching them how to act out the story of Zacchaeus, because that's also part of the training. And so the teacher comes over and asks, what are you doing? And so this girl explains to the teacher that her dad had helped her understand how you can act out the story of Zacchaeus. Teacher goes, when we have our next class presentation to the school, we're going to act out the story of Zacchaeus. We're going to tell it and act it out. And so, when Vanessa said, kids are just incredible in being able to tell others, they are. Have you ever told your children, doesn't matter how old they are, have you told your children your story, your best story? Maybe you've got grandkids. Why do grandma or grandpa go to church? Do they actually know why? It's not just because it's on a Sunday or it's not out of habit. You're doing it out of relationship with Jesus. But have you ever told them why? All right. Find someone. Pair up. Could everyone please... I'll be polite. Could everyone please pair up? And you will have the opportunity to tell your... it's not going to get any easier than this. All right? This is the easiest it's ever going to be. Oh, it was great that, in that sharing time, we were able to hear the impact. This was totally unplanned, was it not, Vanessa? It was just that little girl just gets up, tells a story, other kids believe. Our stories are incredibly powerful. The Gerasene demoniac had his story to tell, and thousands wanted to follow Jesus as a result. Your story has incredible power. Jesus has changed your life. Make it exciting. You know, there's other ways that you can tell your story. You can put it on Facebook. Wendy posted something on Facebook just the other day about come and have a talk to me. This was about losing weight, but we're always posting things on Facebook. Put your story on Facebook. I've done that, and then I got a response from one of my friends saying, can we talk some more about this? You need to be doing these things. Here's another one that you could do. We're coming up to Christmas, and my mum, who is now, goes to Bible study every week, and this is not the story of my life. She was not like this before, but now she's at Bible study every week and volunteers at other church things. She's always talking about things that Jesus is doing in the lives of people. But a few years back... she asked me at Christmas, oh, Grant, you'll say grace before, lunch, won't you? And I said to her, only if you give me 3 minutes first. And she said, what for? And I said, so I can tell everyone my story. Oh, if you must. I said, I must. So I told my story and extended family who were there. My brother and sister and parents weren't that excited, I wouldn't think, to hear my story. But I had a cousin who was, and he came and talked to me afterwards because he wanted to know more about my story. You know, but at least no one in my family can say they've never heard my story. I know of other families where, having heard that they can tell their story and why they do some of the things they do, have gone home and told their children why. And, you know, we just often assume that our families know our story. And, you know, sure, our families can be our harshest critics, but they are also people that we love. And if they don't know Jesus, maybe they've missed out on a key thing. You know, they've just seen that you've maybe gone to church, or maybe that you believe in Jesus, but they don't understand why and the impact it's had on your life. I want to encourage you to make telling your families a priority. Even if they believe, practice on them and then look for other opportunities. You know, you'll need to be brave to tell your story, but you can do it. You've had a go today. We now get to have morning tea together. We can have lunch together at Tanilba. And if you've never met someone, say, hey, what a great way to introduce yourself to someone you've not met before by telling their story. I love the bit of feedback as well that Laura had about Friday and the lady who talked about all the serious deep conversations. Sue came back and she was talking about conversations that she had had, because we gave the opportunity for people to have significant encounters. All right, one more thing before we finish. I just want to remind you about the timeline as well. Please feel free to add to that, put stuff on those post-it notes, put them in the appropriate place. If you know some dates, add them there. All right. You know, Jesus needs us to be his ambassadors, his spokespeople, because faith comes from hearing. And people need to hear from us. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I just want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for the power of your word. Lord, that again we've been able to encounter you and share together what you have done for me, for each one of us. That Jesus, you are alive, you are real, you are at work, you are active. And so Jesus, may we look for the opportunities to boldly demonstrate your goodness with our words. And may we be able to start even with our best story that we have about you. Thank you for today, Jesus. Amen.